I would be both excited and concerned. What else? Well, here's the Hawk. My mental health. Thanks for ripping on me, son. We're going to talk about anxiety today, so we're going to get into mental health. But anybody else have anything? All right, how about this? This might be a little easier. What's something that you can see the world being worried about in 2023? Like, so maybe it's not you, but, you know, you have a friend, right? Or you look at it in the news. What's the world worried about these days? What's the world anxious about? What? Everything. Yes. That sums it up. Any specifics that anybody wants to add? A recession. Yeah, that's not fun. We're kind of already in one. And people are worried about that going from not fun to even more not fun. What else? Anything else?
Culture.
The direction of culture. War, right? People are worried about war. I've clicked on maybe a couple too many YouTube videos about what's going on in Ukraine, and so what ends up happening is like they figure out my algorithm, right? And then they just feed you all sorts of stuff, right? And a lot of the headlines are like, you know, well, scary. Fear-mongering even. Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about anxiety, and I'm going to read to you from Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. I want to talk about the concerns. We're going to read from Jesus, his words about the concerns that people face really every day. So listen to Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read verse 25 through 34. This is God's word, and it's eternally true. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is the trouble of its own." Let's pray. So our Father in heaven, make our minds, make our hearts good soil for your word. Plant your word in us in a way that our roots grow broad and deep. And may it be, Lord, that there is fruit that's born a hundredfold from the planting of your word in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So did you listen to Jesus' words there? Did you listen closely? Did you read closely? If you ask the question, will God answer me? How does Jesus answer the question? How does he answer the question, will God care for me? So in the passage, Jesus, over and over and over again, he says, do not, do not, do not. Do not what? Do not be anxious. okay, all right, don't be anxious. Let's pray and go home. Well, it's not that simple. And Jesus knows it's not that simple. He says more than just, don't be anxious. Now, there are pretty self-evident reasons why anybody would be anxious. I recently heard a clinical psychologist that we all have good reason to be anxious, since we all know that we are vulnerable and we'll die someday. Right? Someday we're going to die. We're all vulnerable, right? Like, we don't have chests made of armor, right? We don't have bodies that anymore will live forever. We live in a world that we have to face death, and we have to face the fact that we are vulnerable. And Jesus is not naive to these realities. Jesus knows. You've heard me say that Jesus probably lost his dad somewhere in between the ages of 12 and 30. He knew that life was vulnerable. He watched people die prematurely. He watched people deal with things that would make anybody anxious. So Jesus is not naive to the way the world works. He's not naive to the way that we're vulnerability. He understood that the world, better than any of us, that the world is radically skewed because of mankind's crash into sin. And so anxiety, fear, worry are all commonplace for anybody as we navigate life in a crashed world. And yet, in spite of all that, Jesus spends significant time here telling his disciples not to be anxious. He says it over and again, do not be anxious. Why is that? So if you look at the section that comes before the one we just read, as I'm reading through this, it appears to me that Jesus is, in the section before, he deals with treasure. He says, don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves can break in and steal. And so he invites the disciples to ask questions of their heart. Where is my treasure? And then he concludes that section saying, you can't serve both God and money. And then he picks up here in this section that we're looking at now, and he says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Right? So he's continuing in his thought from the section that we looked at the very end of November. We can't serve both God and money. We also can't be anxious people without it impacting our freedom and ability to serve Christ and his kingdom. We can't be anxious people without it impacting our freedom and our ability to serve Christ and his kingdom. Jesus' followers are to be people who are focused on the kingdom. And anxiety is something that can get in the way. He wants us to have clear eyes that are focused on serving the Master. And anxiety and fear and worry are things that can cloud our days, cloud our minds, cloud our judgment, cloud all sorts of things that takes our eyes off the ball, right? That takes us away from the mission, that takes us away from keeping our eyes on the Master, keeping our eyes on the King. And so what Jesus does, he goes beyond saying, don't worry, don't be anxious, to go on and giving us, asking some questions that actually end up working to, you could say, overthrow the authority of the anxieties that take dominion over us, that take dominion over our minds, that cloud out everything else and kind of can take over. Jesus asks questions that are aimed at undermining the authority of our anxiety. He asks questions that that are just simple, simple questions that what they end up doing is they end up, supplanting the power of anxiety. If we have the freedom to take it in and absorb it, and it can dislodge the authority of our anxieties. To say it another way, he plants a seed in our minds as he asks these questions that we'll look at that can dislodge the strongholds of our fears. These questions can dislodge the strongholds of the things that take us captive. Jesus wants to be king in our life, and he's asking questions of us to get after the things that that cloud our ability, interrupt our ability to freely, to be free to serve Christ in his kingdom. And so he does this by asking simple questions, about five of them. The first question comes in verse 25, where Jesus prefaces the question by saying, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you will put on." And then he asks, "Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing?" Notice here that Jesus is instructing his disciples not to be anxious about food or drink or clothing. And then he follows up this command by asking this question for them to answer, and it's really an easy question to answer. Is life not more than food or clothing? What this does is this question puts into perspective the concerns of the disciples. Life is obviously not all about food and clothing. You raise your eyebrows at people that make life all about food and clothing, right? And yet commonly, many people worry and spend their time focused on just that thing, giving their emotions and their imagination to worrying about those things, what they'll eat and what they'll wear. Now, Jesus is living in a world where, you know, people are probably living a lot closer to food scarcity or something like that, you know, to use a word that they use on TV all the time, I guess. You know, food, they're living a lot closer to something like food scarcity. But we too tend to worry about these very things, or at least worry about, you know, I don't know, what we'll wear, right? I mean, maybe don't worry about, whether you'll have access to clothes. I mean, we have a clothing closet downstairs after all, right? But very often we worry about even more trivial things, not whether we'll have clothes to wear or not, but what types of clothes we'll wear. I look back at my life as a teenager in public high school, and I can remember spending lots of time worrying about what I would wear. Not because there was a shortage of clothes, but it was the kind of clothes that I would wear that I worried a lot about. I can also think about much of my life as a young father worrying about what we would eat, like when I was in, you know, seminary and graduate school and working a part-time job and, you know, day to day, week to week, month to month, dependent on the Lord's provision. And yet, think about it. Like, how often do you think back about high school and really even consider too much the clothes that you did wear back then, right? I mean, so often it was like such a big deal that you fit in or that you were cool or that maybe even you were trying to stay above, you know, like ahead of the curve for some of you. But how often do you actually think about what you would wear back then? And honestly, it's kind of embarrassing. Does anybody remember JNCOs? I was just looking up, anybody remember JNCOs? All right. Big, baggy jeans that were like, you know, just massive, and you looked like you were wearing a dress or something like that. It's honestly kind of embarrassing. And Jesus, whether we're worried about real concerns, like I don't actually know where my meal is coming today from today, or whether it's worrying about, you know, having quite the right style to fit in, either way, Jesus asking this question, is life much more than food and clothing? The answer is so clearly yes. Life is. There's so much more important things to in life than what we're going to wear and even what we're going to eat. Life's much more There's so much more to life than our fine coffees and our fine breads and our desserts and delicacies and all that type of stuff. Now, the second question comes in verse 22 or 26, where Jesus then goes from asking this question about isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? And he says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And then here's the second question. Are you not of more value than they? In the second question, Jesus makes a simple point about birds. Birds have no need for planting and harvesting crops. They don't have to go to the store. Or they don't store up the produce of their fields. And yet, in spite of this, they're fed by our Father in heaven. Imagine that. Imagine a bird harvesting a field, plowing a field. Imagine a bird building a barn. It's a comical thing to even think about. And so Jesus puts that picture in your head and he says, you never see that. And then he asks this question, are you not of more value than they? Are you not more valuable than birds? Does God the Father value his children more than birds? Does God the Father value those who he created in his image, the crown jewel of his creation, much more than the rest of the creatures and creation that he made? The answer is obviously yes, Lord. You made us in your image. And if you're a child of God, he's adopted you into his family. He's vested the greatest treasure he has. God the Father invested his Son in purchasing you for himself. Yes, he cares for you, and you are of far more value than the birds of the air. God cares about birds, but he cares about those created in his image far more than they. Question three breaks away from Jesus' reflections on creation, and instead is a simple question about the power of anxiety, the power of worry, the power of fear. Jesus says in verse 27, he says, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? In other words, does worry, does fear, does anxiety have the ability to actually keep you going? To give you another hour? To give you another year? Does anxiety add to the time of your life? Again, the answer is obvious. The answer is no. In fact, you could argue that there are negative health implications. There's negative outcomes to our anxiety. Our Father holds our lives in his hands. Our worry and our anxiety cannot change anything about the date and the time that he wishes to call us home. God is sovereign. He could call you home tomorrow with the common flu or pneumonia, or he could keep you here for another 20, 30 years. Our worry, our anxiety is not going to change anything about how long we're going to live. R.C. Sproul once wrote, one of the things that Jesus stresses in this admonition about worry is its futility. All the worry in the world cannot possibly change anything. All we do when we worry is get ourselves upset. And the only changes wrought by our worry are negative changes to our own health. Jesus says it's silly to worry because worry is futile. Now let's go on to question 4 and 5, and those come together in verse 28 through 30. Jesus asks, why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? A similar analogy to the birds, Jesus says here that we don't find flowers working to, you know, raise cotton or linen or something like that. You don't see them raising sheep in order to shear them and then spin the wool into clothing. You don't find grass doing something like that. That's another comical picture. But what Jesus is doing is he's using this question, he's using these questions and this analogy, this picture, to undermine the authority of our anxieties and fears. Jesus says that Solomon, in all his glory, King Solomon, with access to all sorts of wonders of the ancient world, was not arrayed as beautifully as the flowers of the field that were clothed by God. And he takes that and he works the logic out there to say that should we not expect to be cared for by our Father? The grass that's more beautiful than Solomon in all his glory, is far less important than Solomon or you. And so Jesus says, when he says much more, he points out that we don't really need to worry. We're truly more valuable than flowers and grass. God arrays it in beauty, and it's gone in a moment. And you're far more important than it. And that's the end of the matter. You're far more valuable to him than the grass of the field. Many of us, again, will worry about what we wear. Now, up here, you know, you don't have like this huge selection of clothes to wear, do we? Right? You've got something like the department store, but if you go in there and you don't necessarily find what you like, maybe you end up having to go somewhere else. And yet we want to impress, we want to look good, we want to dress professionally, or we want to fit in with the hunting guys, and yet Jesus says, with all of the wealth of Solomon, that he could not keep up with the lilies, and we ought to not fear if we will have what we need, because God will provide for us what we need. Don't be anxious about keeping up with grass. Now, from anxiety, Jesus goes from asking all these questions to turning the angle that he's going at to talk about purpose. He goes from anxiety to actually talk about the purposes that we have. So he builds on these truths. He says, therefore, don't be anxious. So he builds on these truths, but he goes on to address the purpose that we're called to be focused on. He calls these disciples to seek first the kingdom of God. He wants us to be kingdom seekers first before we are worriers about what we'll eat and what we'll wear. In verse 31 through 33, Jesus says, therefore, do not be anxious saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. He knows what you need. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So which sets Jesus' followers apart from the rest of the world? What sets them apart from the Gentiles? The followers of Christ have need for food and clothing and water, just like the Gentiles. But the thing that sets them apart, the thing that makes them different, is that the follower of Christ is a God seeker. The follower of Christ is one who seeks the kingdom of God and his righteousness. They have a redeemed purpose. They are included in the family of God, the kingdom of God, and Christ is giving to us a vision for where to go with our life. Remember Jesus' promise from early on in the Sermon on the Mount, where he said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." So the disciple of Jesus Christ, we see here in verse 32, is one who knows that he has a Father in heaven, who knows what he needs, and instead of spending tons of time worrying about the needs from day to day that he has, his first priority, his first concern, his first, if you look at the scale of all their concerns and burdens and purposes in life, is a God seeker, is a kingdom seeker, is the one who seeks the righteousness and kingdom of God. And then allows God to be the supplier. You almost have this picture here of a king who has subjects who, and they're all together laboring at war, and there's a kingdom to seek. And the soldiers and servants of that kingdom, their job is to focus on the purposes and commands of that king. And what does the king do? He makes sure that he has all the supplies and everything that they need in order to accomplish his purposes for them in their life, in their war, in their kingdom. That's the kind of God we have. We have a God who knows that our hearts get away from him, and he wants to bring us back and get us focused on what really matters. Life is more than our food and our clothing and what we're going to drink. It's about the kingdom of God, but our hearts are so easily, we get so easily astray, and the picture is of a king who just wants us to focus on what truly matters, and he'll take care of the rest. He's got your back. He will supply for you what you need. And then Jesus concludes his thoughts here on dealing with anxiety by saying to his disciples that put off the troubles of tomorrow by dealing with the troubles of today. You see, Jesus is a practical guy, and he understands that there are troubles that we face on a day-to-day basis. So seek first the kingdom, but it's not like he doesn't recognize that we do have to deal with trouble. The problem is that we often worry about trouble that's coming down next month, next year, and further down the road, and we neglect dealing with the trouble that's like right in front of us, right? Right? So, I mean, this is like what procrastination ends up being like, right? You're so worried about all this stuff, and you put off, the stuff that you need to do, because you're just so focused on the future, kind of the big picture. And so Jesus says, be kingdom seekers, keep your priorities straight, and then deal with the trouble you have in the moment. Deal with the trouble that you have in the day. Don't put off the troubles that are going to come tomorrow. Deal with the troubles that you have to deal with today. He says in verse 34, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Anxiety and worry tend to be projections into the future, about what we're afraid of and what we're concerned about in the future. And if we're really honest, what we end up doing is letting the list of the to-dos for the day go because we're so preoccupied about the stuff from the future. And Jesus invites us to deal with today's problems. He invites us to give attention to our hearts and the problems of the day and put off the problems of tomorrow. So don't worry about tomorrow's problems, deal with today's problems. This is really practical advice. The way this would work out for some of you is like maybe you have a test coming up, right? And you don't want to fail that test, right? That test is a big deal. And dealing with anxiety over that test that's coming up in a week or two or three means doing your studies for that test today, right? So you may be afraid of failing that test in 2 or 3 weeks, but the way to deal with the anxiety over that test is to say, okay, I'm gonna divide and conquer this whole, I'm gonna get this section done of the book that I have to study and read today. Tomorrow I'm going to read that, chapter 2, and then in a couple days after that I'm going to read chapter 3. So the trouble for today is all you got to do, just read chapter 1, right? Don't worry about the test, just worry about, am I going to check that part off the list? Am I going to get that done, dealing with do this one thing? And ultimately, what it does is it works together and you're ready for that test in a couple weeks. Jesus cares about the practical. He cares about our everyday to day life. He wants us to be big picture people focused on the kingdom, but he recognizes that some of the way that this gets worked out is just dealing with the trouble that we have faced right in front of us. And of course, this could prompt you to prayer. It actually stir up your prayer life. Like you're dealing with anxiety over the test that's coming in a couple weeks. And so, all right, Lord, help me to deal with the anxiety and help me to be focused on now. Help me to manage my time in such a way that I deal with and get done today what really needs to be done. Because I don't want to put this off for 2 weeks, cram it all in, and then it's like, well, I'm really in trouble. So reflecting on all these verses, will God care for you? I mean, think about 2023. Think about all the worries that you have, all the anxiety that maybe you face, or at least that, maybe it's not new. You don't worry, right? But everybody else does, right? Will God care for you? Even in 2023, even when things feel fragile, when things feel like, this could go sideways, right? Will God care for you? The children of God should have a hearty yes. Yes, God will care for me. Even in 2023. We should expect good things from God, our Heavenly Father, who knows what we need. So you may see the news. You may have experienced hard providences of God in the past. You may have seen some of the ways the world is broken, and that can inform how you look at today. But yet a Christian believes that God is there and he cares. He cares for his children and he will care, yes, even for you. Even for you. We watch way too much news, or scroll through way too much news. We know too many horror stories from the news, and pay attention to, and rather than pay attention to the hundreds and thousands of acts of God whereby he has provided for us through the whole of our life. Let me say it again. We often pay way too much attention to the bad news, and news runs on bad news, right? And the horror stories, we give so much attention to that rather than count and pay attention to the hundreds of thousands of acts of God on our behalf to care for us through the span of our life. So imagine you're 70 years old, right? And you've dealt with anxiety for years and years and years and years and years, right? And you were afraid that this would happen or that would happen. And then it never did. Like, there's hundreds of thousands of examples of how over the last 70 years, right? Like, so multiply 70 by 10,000 or way beyond. And you can look at all of those things and you can say, God, you have been faithful to me through the whole span of my life. And yet, Lord, I'm struggling today with worrying about this toothache. Help me to trust you with the toothache today, because you've cared for me the whole of my life up until this point, and I'm sorry, I keep doubting you, but Lord, yes, like the disciples, I have little faith. Help me to turn that even over to you. The norm of God is to care for us. We often look so closely at the exceptions. Right? We focus tunnel vision in on the exceptions and the potential exceptions when we have thousands of examples of the ways that God has provided for us and cared for us. And so worry does not have to be this overwhelmingly dis, this overwhelming distraction from the other things that are far more important in our lives than being anxious. And again, it should be said that ultimately anxiety can wreak much havoc in our life, paralyzing us, freezing us in our beds, taking us out of moments of life that we would otherwise want to be present in. Often we worry about just utterly silly stuff when the big things, the important things, we neglect. Worrying about a pair of sneakers to buy and what kids would think they are cool is not as important as being concerned about something like our health, but both of them, as far as concerns, pale in comparison to whether or not our ultimate realities are dealt with. Do I know God? Do I know God? Am I going through life without knowing Him? Does God know me? When I face Him someday, will He look at me with the eyes of knowledge, as though He knows me? I'm His child. He's expecting me. Are those things settled? Am I a citizen in His kingdom? Is His righteousness something that He has deposited into my account? Do I hunger and thirst for His kingdom and His righteousness? Those are the questions. Those are the questions to sort through and deal with. Those are the questions that matter and should loom larger in our lives than so many of the things that preoccupy us and distract us and get us off the path. Let's pray together.